If you didn't hear me, Revelation chapter 1. Well, it's good to see everybody. Great to be preaching after a couple weeks. I really appreciate the ability for Carl and I to get to go to this conference and kind of get challenged. I hated it because I don't like to be challenged. I like to be comfortable. I don't want to go through that, but it's always good. And so today, guys, you're going to get challenged. If you're maybe a guest or your first time here, it's a little different, but it's going to be challenging. First of all, I love the sign out there, if you didn't see it, about coffee to stay awake during the message. I think that's just hilarious. That's just really, really funny. So anyway, I'm going to come in this week and move everything to decaf is what we're going to do. So it'll be good. But it's wonderful. Guys, if you're here today and you are a Christian, you're a believer, you're a follower of Jesus, this is your church, you know, and you believe that we come together to hear God's word, that truth is preached here, and that we should respond to God's word when it's brought, please stay in your seat. All right, all of you, good. Well, in that case, this is going to be wonderful. All right. Well, if you're here today, what we're going to do is I was just in God's word this week and came across this passage in Revelation and thought it was perfect for today to remind us of the importance of church. Not of a building, not of a denomination, not of religion, but of the church. You and I, followers, imperfect followers of Jesus, and us making sure that we understand how important our calling is. In Revelation chapter 1, and we love Revelation, it's where we know that Jesus is coming again and it's revealed to us. And Revelation promises us one day there'll be no more death, no more sickness or pain or the stuff of this messed up world, that we will get to live with God forever. But in chapter 1, John, it says this, starting in verse 7, it talks about how Jesus is coming again and everyone will see him. He says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." And John said he was in the Spirit and he heard a voice saying, "I am the Alpha, the Omega, the first, the last. What you see, write below and send it to the churches." And then John turned to the voice of Jesus. John turned towards Jesus and guess what he saw? He saw seven golden lampstands and in the middle of them was Jesus. Do you understand how important that is? This is. When John turned to Jesus, when John responded to Jesus, the first thing he saw was the church. If you're a Christian today and you're a believer and you have responded to Jesus and you are a Christian, saved, believe in Him, want to go to heaven, your life, you when you turn to Jesus, you will see the church. Your life, the church should be so important in your life. And this revelation right here, this is why we need to read God's Word, because we get stuff like this revealed to us. It's like, if I love Jesus, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, the first thing, the most important thing in my life is going to be Jesus and His church, His body. How important that is. The two are inseparable. I think it's so important for us to realize that. He goes on in the chapter and he tells John, he goes, "I have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things you've seen, the things which are, and the things which will take place after this." Guys, if you're a Christian, you've got to be in and learning and studying God's Word. That needs to take place in the context of not only in your homes, and we'll talk about that, but in the context of the church. In the context of the church, the two are inseparable. This is a great time of the year. I love it. Days are getting longer. Spring training's about to start. Fresh hope for Cubs fans. I know this year they're the best team ever. I know. Anyway, we have our Refuge Monday night group starting up tomorrow night at 6:30. We have some great studies, and we're going to talk about that today. But I think as believers and as Christians and how important the church is to us today, we want to remind ourselves of the priorities of our life. That I'm a Christian, I believe I'm going to heaven, I believe in Jesus, He's my Lord. We're going to talk about the journey that we're on. Guys, we want it all, don't we? This is American culture these days. We want everything. But as Christians, we can be saved, we can have God's mercy and peace and blessings, and we can have great relationship and abundance and satisfaction in life if we will do as Jesus said, to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And then all these other things will be added unto us. And guys, for the Christian, that is done in the context of the church. If you're a guest today or haven't put your faith in Jesus yet, that's what we're going to be talking about. And maybe there are some of you who are in a season of life with health that you can't always get out like you once could, whatever. That's different. I understand that. But for the believer, for the Christian, to give God but 45 minutes to an hour on every Sunday is not enough. God has more. God requires more. God loves you and wants better for you. I want you to think about this. A lot of times our services will be out in, 50, 55 minutes. And if that's all you're doing in the context of your church life, you're missing out. and God wants and has more for. I want you to think about this. How much time we spend a week at work? We all, you know, we work hard. I get it. God wants us to work hard. But am I to give 50 hours a week to work and then just 1 hour to my church? What about TV? Who here watches TV? Most everybody? Yes? You don't have to raise your hand. You watch TV? You have shows you watch every week? I might watch a couple of ball games a week. Let's say I watch two. Let's say I watch a football and a basketball game every week. There's 5 hours. And if I watch some other TV, the average American watches, I think it's like 15 to 20 hours. And then to just give God 1 hour or 55 minutes, I think that we need to do better than that. The average person in America, this is kind of gross, not counting hair and makeup, but the average person spends about 2.5 hours every week using the bathroom. Number one, number two, right? 2.5 hours. But seriously, to think that I would give my basis bodily functions 2.5 more times than I give God every week, I hope that's not you. And if it is, I hope you're willing today to pray and think about and do something about that. Acts 2:42, the early church. There's a reason that 2,000 years later, there are billions of Christians on earth and billions that have went before and already gone on to be with the Lord. It's because that early church was serious about what they were here for. Not just that they were saved, they knew that Jesus had rose again. Many of them had seen him. But they were serious about continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They were continually devoted to being together, to studying God's word, to eating together, to praying. And guys, I feel like we have let this slip into our church and into our church culture all over the world, where we could, that verse almost today would say, well, they didn't quite do as much of this stuff as they could because they were all too busy with work and with life and with kid stuff and with sports and with school and with you name it. And I think that's so sad. Continually devoted to being together, studying God's word, to praying together. Matthew 22. We're told the greatest commandment that there is. It's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And the second one is to love each other, love your neighbor. If you're here this morning, chances are there's someone or there's multiple people on planet Earth, some may be sitting with you today, that you love. Your spouse, your kids, your grandkids, your siblings, whatever. You love them. To love means if you love them, you're going to want to what? You're going to want to spend time with them. Guys, I got to ask you, you need to examine your hearts this morning. Do I love Jesus? Do I want to spend time with him? Or does life just surpass and supplant all that time with Jesus that I could have? Time with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Time in church studying the word. Do I really love him? Because he said many that day will come to me and said, hey, Jesus, I'm here. And he'll say, I don't know you. And that scares me. He's got to be a priority in our life. Proverbs 3, of course, tells us to lean not on our own understanding, but to seek God, to not forsake his commands. We're told to not forsake the assembling together, and that does not just mean Sunday morning service. God commands you and needs you, your church needs you to be involved. When I was first saved, I was a young man, and my model, and I'm not faulting the church by any means, but my thought of how to be a good Christian was how good I could be. You know, I was a teenager, I was saved, I was called into ministry, and I realized very quickly that I failed at being good enough. And I didn't have anybody that, you know, what you did was you just kind of, if you had sins or you had your issues, you didn't talk about them, you just kind of were shameful, and that was, and that's an unhealthy model. That's not a biblical model. And then after I recommitted my life to Christ when I was 30 and accepted my call into the ministry, I was part of a church. And even I still had that model of, well, I'm a lot better now. So I wasn't involved in a small group. I didn't really start coming to Sunday school, etc. And I had it wrong. I was trying to be a Christian in an unhealthy way. Because to just come Sunday is not enough. We've always likened it to 1 hour on Sunday. If you don't eat any food between now and next Sunday, you're going to end up in the hospital. Many, many Christians are spiritually unhealthy because we try to get fed for an hour a week. We might have a quick devotion at home. God made us to connect together. Now, here at the Church of God, you guys have it very easy because, and I think small groups are wonderful, and a lot of churches do a small group model. If you're not familiar with churches, groups of 8, 10, 12 people will meet once or twice a week in homes or at the church. And, you know, it's a good, healthy thing because they pray, they share life, they do all that. We don't do that here because historically, it's not worked real well. We're hesitant to do that. We don't have a ton of homes that are adequate for hosting. But also, small groups can go wrong. And I came across this video. We might have shown this a couple years ago, but this is like a small group gone bad. And so you can be thankful that we don't do a small group model, because sometimes it can be like this. And I promise you, Mondays and all the studies we have aren't like this. But here's a small group gone bad. And I'll be thinking of many of you as I watch this, because I can think of some people that...
Well, what did you think of this week's sermon?
I actually had a problem with it. I really think he should have elaborated more on the different types of love that Jesus was referring to. One type of love was the phileo love, and one was agape love. And it's Greek, so don't worry about it. Maybe the pastor didn't know. He knows now. I emailed him about it.
Great. Thanks for the insight. Anybody else have any thoughts? Kai? No? Okay.
So I was reading my Bible this week, and I came across a passage that moved me. It was in Ezekiel. Son of man, set your face against Gog of the land of Magog. Because sometimes in life we have to set our faces against the Gogs that hinder us, so we can love, you know. Because I want a family and kids. I have a niece, actually. She's so cute. Her name's Kimberly. And you got to look at my Facebook. There's a picture of me with her. She giggled for the first time this week. It was so cute.
Sorry I'm late. It's the traffic.
Marcy! Hey, I saved a seat for you. Actually, right over here. Scooch!
Oh, hey, no problem. Come on in. We're just actually getting ready to start prayer requests. Is that Mariah Carey?
Whoa! Hey! This guy's really going for it, am I wrong? Hey, be careful, she offers you an apple.
Okay, you can start, Michelle.
Okay, I actually have a few things this week. Let's see, to start off with, I really need you guys to pray for my job. I'm having some hard times with my coworkers and my boss, and so I just don't really know what to do with that. Also, discipline to get up and work out, because I've not been doing that very well this week. And I'm really trying hard not to gossip. I need your help in praying with that. My cat started making like this weird noise, and I don't really know what's going on there. So if you could pray for her, her name's Roxy. My car broke down and I got a speeding ticket. And then also, I need you to pray for me and Chad. Okay, I don't even know if I can get into that, but you need to pray because he's acting like a fool and I just don't even know what to do. Oh, Team Edward and Team Jacob. Okay, just pray for that. And I think that might be it for this week.
How's love life, Kevin?
I mean, the Lord's powerful, if I'm wrong. Am I wrong? I mean, if they can gather up all the animals in the universe, put them on a dinghy, and sail them across the world, he's got to find a woman for me.
Praise God.
Am I wrong? I'm probably wrong.
So I promise you, none of our groups will be like that. Carla watched, my wife watched that video, the first service, the talker, and she's like, that used to be me. And I'm like, yeah, that was you. Thankfully, those days are kind of over. So anyway, kind of. Don't tell her I said that. She's in toddlers. So it won't be like that. But we are going to talk this morning briefly about the ways in which you can plug in. And again, I will talk briefly about, as I was had recommitted my life to the Lord, I actually just committed to coming to Sunday school and to getting involved in a group and to coming to Bible studies. And when the church would have things like Super Bowl parties and like things like that, I committed that, you know what, I'm part of the church. I'm going to make time to come to those things. I was very busy. I owned a small business, etc. But you know, it didn't matter. I made time, and God blessed that. And I grew leaps and bounds in my faith by being involved in the church. And I think that for some of you here today, and if you're here and you're a Christian and this is your church and you're not homebound, it is time, if at all possible, to be involved in something other than coming just Sunday morning. Sunday morning is great. There's a reason we do this. This is of God. But so are all the stuff that we do through the week. Now, I'm going to go over a couple of those and just give you some opportunities here this morning to if you probably know about some, them, but if you don't, kids. Jesus made it very clear that children were important to him. He made it very clear, and the Bible makes it very clear. And I want to talk to you this morning. If you're a parent, you have no greater responsibility than teaching your kids God's word and to love Jesus. No greater responsibility. Actually, the Bible says you're the pastor to your family. I'm called to be the pastor of this church. You're called to be the pastors to your children, grandchildren, whatever it might be. I want to tell you something. I think we've gotten this a little wrong in today's culture. We're going to look back, if we love Jesus and we care, we're going to look back, some of us, in 10, 20, 30 years and be sad because our kids won't have their kids in church. Our church won't be a priority to them. They won't be generationally, the love for Jesus won't be passed down through our families because maybe we didn't make it the priority that we should. Let me tell you something. Your kids and my kids, they can get straight A's and be all conference and all world, but if we're not teaching them to love Jesus, we are failing. We are failing. If my kid might know how to explain the Pythagorean theorem and can count to a million and structure a sentence perfectly, but if they don't know the story of David and Joseph and why Jesus died and what the Bible says, then I am and you, we are failing. We are failing. But it's not too late. This is not a guilt trip. This is a challenge to say we have got to make this more of a priority in our lives. And the church has many great things. We have an Awana every Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. Kids learn Bible verses. They get to play. My kids love it. And I love getting to see them practice their verses through the week. And they get excited when it's Wednesday. And you know what? You've got time to get your kids there. The woman who leads that works 60 hours a week. And she still finds time to lead that program. We've got time to make time for our kids to come. We have a youth. Our youth groups meet Sunday night. Sunday night, every Sunday night at 6 o'clock, we have a trek program during our Awana program on Wednesday for 7th, 8th graders. And none of this ever surpasses God's command for you to teach the Bible in your home, but these are great things that we need to be and have our kids involved in. God gives us many verses. Deuteronomy says, "These words which I command you will be in your heart. You'll teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit down, when you walk, when you lie down, and when you rise up." Diligently. Guys, would you ever think, I'm not going to say it's never happened, we would never think of letting our kids go to school without their homework done. But yet, it's so easy, and many, you don't have devotions in your own home. You don't read the Bible. Husbands and wives, are you praying together? Are you praying with your children? Well, we're Christians. When was the last time you prayed with your kid? Oh, it's been months or years. Come on, guys. Prayer. Diligent. Be diligent about teaching God's word to our children. A couple more verses. Isaiah tells us. It says, "And your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children." I want my kids to make good grades and be good in sports and have friendships and have fun and all those things. Those are wonderful. But most importantly is that they're taught about the Lord so that they can have great peace and I can enable them to live good lives, to live lives where they love Jesus. Let me tell you, my kids will make mistakes. I've made plenty of mistakes, but I want to empower them to live a godly life and to know and obey God's word. Because listen, you might be here this morning and you're not a believer. That's your decision. But following what God's word says leads to a better life. Being honest and being faithful and giving of yourself and loving and serving others and forgiving people and being kind. Those are good things. And we, if you're a Christian, you understand it's the obeying of God's word we're required to do. But even if you're not, these are good things that our world needs more of. Next verse. It says, "Then the word of God spread and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith." And we don't have time to get into kind of what Moses taught about this. But guys, again, it's not my job. It's not the youth leader's job. It is your job to be the pastor, if you're a Christian, to your family, to your children. Mothers and fathers, it's your job. 1 Peter says this. It says, "You're chosen, you're royal, you're holy, you're special. God has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." But it says that you're a priesthood. And again, we all have a calling for Jesus in our lives and in our families. We all have that. Proverbs, of course, tells us when you raise a child in the way they should go, when they're old, they won't depart from it. Now, that doesn't mean they may never get away from it, because I'm sure that my family had to cling to this verse a lot. But I believe God's word is true. And I believe when we train a child, not just by bringing them to church, but by praying and reading God's word and being parents who love Jesus and model that, those kids will not depart from that. They may take a vacation, and that's not funny. It happens. But when they were old, they will not depart from it. And I believe God's word is true. Guys, time for your kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews in the word, that better be trumping tablet time and Facebook time and sports time and even school's important. All that is secondary to something that matters for all of eternity. And that is our love for Jesus and our time in and the importance of God's word in our families and in our lives. Tomorrow at 6:30, we start a class about how to have a Christian home, how to disciple your children. I think you need to make time to come to that if you have kids. 6:30, right out there after we eat. The meal's at 5:30. Well, do I care about raising my children in a Christian home? And guys, you need to be enlightened. You need to think about media and school and culture and time and sex and money and all the things that very much will affect your kids' lives, what God's Word says, and get tips and share with one another how we can be better parents, be better Christians. That's why you come to these things. That's why we give God more than just that 1 hour on Sunday morning. I'll be in here tomorrow night, if you didn't see the sign, teaching a study. Basically, it's I'm calling it, "What's Your Favorite Sin?" Probably some of you saw that sign and thought, "What is this wacko going to be talking about?" Because sin's not a laughing matter. We brush it aside in our culture these days, but it's not. And we can't live in sin as Christians, but when we're honest, when we're not hypocrites, we know that we struggle. We have areas and we have stuff that we struggle with. And we can't live abundant lives. We can't live the best way that God wants us if we don't deal with our sin and with our struggles. And this class is how we get to the root of the sin we struggle with and how to get that root out so we can have real freedom in Jesus. If you're here today as a Christian and you don't feel like you're living very abundantly, very free, you're really struggling with sin, you're tired of it, let's get real. Come and study God's Word. Come and pray with one another. Come and let's be a part of what we have going on. 1 John 1 tells us this: if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. That's if we walk in the light and if we have fellowship with one another. This whole thing of I keep to myself, I come to church on Sunday, that's not enough. God calls us to more than that. And you need to have healthy home lives and healthy discipleship at home. But as a church, we need to not forsake the assembling together so that we can be the best that God wants us to be. Some, I see this in Christians' lives. I've done this in the past. But anybody know what the Stockholm Syndrome is? You know, I see too many Christians living that, where they've just gotten comfortable with their mess, comfortable with their sin, comfortable with the unforgiveness, comfortable with a ho-hum life without joy and without laughter and without love and without peace and without serving and without having more that God wants for you because you love you because of the Stockholm Syndrome, which is just very simply that we have, in some, it's very easy for it to happen. You have almost gotten an affection for the mess in your life, for the way in which you live without Jesus, for the way in which you're separated and isolated, for the way in which you have the same sin over and over and over and over. The Stockholm Syndrome was named, it was kind of made famous after, I think it was a bank robbery, and the robbers held the people hostage, and they developed an affection. They started to defend their very captors. How many of you are doing that today with sin? Or with the excuses of why to not be involved in church, why to not give your life to Jesus, why to not change, why to not get out of your comfort zone? It's the Stockholm Syndrome, and the enemy loves it. And your Lord, who loves and gave His life for you, He hates it. He wants you to have more. Jesus died to set you free, not just to save your soul. If that was it, the moment you got saved, you just go to heaven. You don't even need to keep living. Just go on to heaven. He's got more for you here right now. We have another study on Mondays at 6:30 entitled, "Who is Jesus?" I believe as Christians, it should be very important to us that we understand through the Word who Jesus is. We'll be studying the book of John. 6:30 is on Monday. Who is Jesus? I think that's very important. Guys, God's Word is a treasure chest. It is rich. And the number one thing I hear from people in the church is, "I don't understand God's Word. I struggle with understanding it." Then come to Sunday school. Come to a Bible study. Come to IF. Come to a men's or women's breakfast. Come to one of the many studies that we have here throughout the week, and especially on Monday night. Come and learn. We have support groups that start back up tomorrow night. They've been going, but we have a depression and addictions group. In America, the stats that I saw were that about 10% of people struggle substantially with depression. And I would guess it's more because a lot of people don't ever report it or deal with it. And that number is increasing 20% every year in America. And now some of that is situational. It can be health-related. It can be based on relationship, job. It can be a timing thing. But guys, especially as Christians, you have to deal with those things. God doesn't want you living in depression. He wants to heal you and set you free, and He does that. But He does that when we get into His Word, when we pray for and with one another, when we're real. Addictions doesn't just mean necessarily that you're on drugs or you struggle with that. To some of you, that is your struggle. But we all have issues and sins that we struggle against. Guys, the only way I've ever been able to overcome sin and experience freedom in my life is through walking daily with Jesus, being in His Word, having people in the church and other Christians in my life that hold me accountable, that love me, that pray with me. I'm not just automatically, well, I'm pastor, so my life's perfect. Are you kidding? We have to be purposeful to live in God's best. And His best is the best way to live. And it happens when we do much more than coming and sitting in these chairs for 1 hour a week. God is calling some of you today to step forward and to give Him more time, to give Him more of you. James 3 says this. It says that we all stumble in many things. Now again, it's not that we live in sin as Christians, but the time of just coming in on Sunday and how you doing, good morning, how was your week, great, see ya, it's not enough. I love that you're here. God is somewhat pleased that you're here, but He wants more. For every individual here today, He has more. He's got healing for you. He's got peace for you. He's got blessings for you. He's got a job for you to do. Guys, we all have stuff we need healed from. We went to that conference 2 weeks ago. I found out there's still stuff I need more healing from. Oh, can you just say that? That's oversharing. No, that's authenticity. Stuff I still need healing from. And that's okay. It doesn't make me less of a follower of Jesus. It means that I want that so I can have more peace, have more joy, be a better husband and father, be a better pastor, be a better Christian. And God has that for you as well. 1 John says this, guys, stuff, and when it's left in the dark, it doesn't get dealt with. The stuff you have, it's unhealthy. Bring it to the light so you can have healing and freedom. If we say we have no sin, go back, please. We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to change us and cleanse us. If we say we have no sin or we don't need this, we deceive ourselves. I don't need to come to a Bible study. I don't need to come Monday or to Sunday school or to fellowships. All right, but I'm busy. You're being deceived. We're all very, very busy. I get it. But what are our priorities? What are our priorities? I love my children. I love my wife. But I love Jesus the most. So I make time. Well, you're the pastor. I made time before I was a pastor, when I was a Christian, to be involved in church, to come, to grow, to be a part of my brothers and sisters in Christ, to pray with them, to learn God's Word together. Sin grows in darkness, but light brings healing. John 12:46, Jesus says, I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Guys, as Christians, you can still live in darkness. You can live isolated. You can be, especially in a church like us where we have a few people that come here, it's very easy to stay isolated. I come Sunday, I'm part of the church, but that's all I do. That's not what God wants. That's not His best. That can lead to backsliding. That leads to sin. That can lead to all kinds of things that are unhealthy if we're not careful. Prayer. What can we do that's more powerful, more important than prayer? Jesus tore the veil. Jesus came that we have access. You get to pray to your loving Heavenly Father, to the God of the universe, anytime you want. That's pretty amazing. So we have a prayer group on Thursday nights. I believe that as Christians, that in order to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, to love God means to try to obey Him. In the Bible, we could go on all day about prayer, but just a few verses. Colossians says to devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. There's that word devote again. What does it mean to devote yourself? It means it's important. It's a priority. I will devote myself to getting lunch today, trust me. I'll devote myself to getting supper tonight, and probably a snack at some point. I'll devote myself to coming to work. I'll devote myself to paying my bills. I'll devote myself to trying to wear a seat. I won't obey the speed limit, but I'll wear a seatbelt and try to be careful when I, you know, things that we make sure we do. As Christians, we're told to devote ourselves to prayer. I think it's wonderful. We have a group that meets just to pray. I think that's incredible. I'm so thankful we're moving that to the evening so more of us can be a part of it. Romans 12 tells us this. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. There we're told to be faithful prayers. So I want you to just think about how faithful your prayer life is. Not just, thanks for the food, God. Keep me safe and bless me today. Amen. Faithful in prayer. We need 300-something people praying for our town and praying for our leaders and for our nation and for our troops and for lost people. Lost people in our families, in our community. I, as your pastor, I need your prayers. We need to pray for one another. We need to be faithful in prayer. Next verse. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Healing. You as a Christian need to be part of people's lives in your church so that you can pray for one another. And you have gifts and struggles and life experiences that other people need to hear about. They need to know how God set you free. They need to hear what God did. They need to hear in good context what you're struggling with. They need to pray with you. I think, and it's my fault as the lead pastor, we've done a poor job as a church of connecting with one another. We need to be more involved in an appropriate way in each other's lives. We need to connect. And all the church statistics would say that we're healthy of number of people that come to stuff. And until that number is 99%, I'm never going to be happy. Because if you're a Christian and this is your church, you need to be coming to stuff. You need to be involved in something other than just this short amount of time on Sunday morning. The prayer group would be a wonderful one to come to. We all know the verse we hear every year, National Day of Prayer, 2 Chronicles. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn, I will hear, I will forgive, and I will heal. See, sometimes we have to humble ourselves. We have to do things that aren't real comfortable. Guys, it's not always comfortable after a long day of work to get out, maybe come on Monday or come on Wednesday, come on Thursday. But we're not here just to be comfortable. God is concerned with much more than just how comfortable we are. We have to and we need to be a part. Sunday school is a great one. If you guys get here at 10:40, can you get here at 10:05 and come to a Sunday school? And I will apologize at how crowded some of the classes get, but I think that's great. You know, that even if we jam in there a little bit. I bet you guys when you go to the doctor, it's crowded in the waiting room a lot of times. I bet you go to restaurants where you have to wait for tables. I bet sometimes you have to wait when you go to the doctor to get called back. So can we come and crowd together for 30 minutes on Sunday morning to share God's word together? Make that a priority? I think so. There's a senior dinner once a month to get together. You know, we're having the Super Bowl party. We need to be part of each other's lives. And guys, I'm going to give you a statistic that breaks my heart because, you know, listen, there are lots of other churches in Hoopston and all over the world and denomination. None of that stuff matters. But the churches that are churches that believe in Jesus Christ, that preach the truth of His Word, that want to see people saved and disciples made, that's the church. And in America, about 9 out of 10 churches are stagnant or are declining. I mean, that should break your heart. 90% of churches are stagnant or declining. And we don't get to sit here and say, well, hey, we're pretty healthy, we're blessed, so that's too bad. We have to pray for them. We have to care, and that should break our heart. Why do I think that that's going on? Because I think people aren't as attached or invested in church as they should be. Church, for many, has become some place that we come on Sunday morning. Instead of realizing that, as 1 Corinthians 12 says, we are a body, we are part of one another, this should be family, this is important, this is real, and the only thing on planet Earth, none of our jobs, none of this stuff is going to last forever, but He's coming back to get His church. This lasts forever. These relationships, this bond of Jesus Christ, this gets to be forever, and someday, not in this messed up planet Earth, but when there's a new heaven, a new earth, and we get to be with God, that is exciting, and I'm looking forward to that. But while we're here, our priority should be our relationship with Jesus Christ and one another. In John, Jesus says this, by this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. Can you say that you have love for the people here, those that were at First Service, those that are part of the church? Because loving means wanting to spend time together. Tell your husband or wife, I love you, but I never want to be around you. That's not love. It's not. And Jesus said, everyone will know that you guys love me. This is Jesus. This is Him talking, if you love one another. And when we love each other, we want to spend time together. Dan, we're going to sing, and I'm going to close with just a thought after we sing together. Would you guys stand? Let's worship one more time, and then we'll close. Would you bow your heads with me? We're going to close in just 1 second, but before we do, I want you to be so thankful that we get to be part of the only thing that will last forever, and that is God's kingdom, that is His love, that is the relationships that we have as family, bound together by what Jesus did on the cross. There's a verse in the book of Philemon that says this. It says, I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that's in us for the sake of Christ. Guys, our job right now is to be getting ready because he's coming again. How hard should we be working? The Bible likens us to a bride getting ready for her wedding day. All the planning, all the stuff, the reserving of the, all the work that goes into that. Guys, how hard are you working to be a great follower of Jesus? How much time are you giving him? How much time are you giving the church? So often, church is a place where we come. And that is not at all what Jesus died for. It is to leave his church here as his representation in the world until he returns again to bring what he intended for his creation, which is full, perfect fellowship with him, life that we can't even imagine. But right now, again, we have a job to do. And so often, and for some of you here today, you're given the bathroom 2.5 times the time that you're given to the Lord every week. When we just come for an hour on Sunday morning, when we think of it that way, how repugnant that is. So heads bowed and eyes closed, before we pray, I'm going to challenge you today to make a commitment. And guys, I know we're busy, but what a shame if we gain the whole world but lose our soul. If we get to the end of this journey and meet him someday and he said, I gave you such gifts and talents. I gave you such grace, such forgiveness, such healing, such life experiences, and you kept them to yourself by not being the part of the church that you should have been, how tragic that would be. If you're willing to do more than come for an hour on Sunday, would you just slide your hand up right now just to remind yourself to say, Lord, yes, I will make time. You are worth it. Put your hands down. Thank you so much. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you. You have given us life. You have given us so many hours in a week. And yes, we're busy. But oh Lord, how you command us, how you require us to meet together, to be devoted, to be steadfast, to continually be together as your church. Because what we do is more important than anything else we'll do in our lives, even as in our jobs, even as parents. There's nothing we can do with our kids, sports, education, roof, quality of life, anything that matters than teaching them about you, teaching them to love you, teaching them your word. God, I pray you would keep our hearts convicted from today's message, Lord, to be your church and to understand it's a full-time job. And what a privilege. What a privilege to be saved by grace. What a privilege to know that even though this is a challenging message, you put it on our hearts simply because each and every one here is loved by you with a perfect, unfathomable love. And you just want the best for their lives. You want the best for their families. You want them to learn more about you. You want them to learn your word. You want them to share life together, to make their life better because they're your children and you love them. God, would you bless us now as we go from here in Jesus' name. Amen.